So this is an introduction to Yamo. I'm just going to start off by saying that there's a lot of erroneous perceptions in the yoga world. A lot. And I think that a lot of those erroneous perceptions are starting to be fleshed out. You know, people are kind of stopping and going, hey, does that make sense? If you kind of go on Spotify or some sort of podcast, you actually will start to see more information about where science meets yoga. And I think that's a really good thing, that we start to question, like, you know, does that really make sense? And one of those big erroneous perceptions, huge one, is that yoga equals flexibility. One of my favorite talks that I kind of give in the history of yoga, and we've kind of talked a little bit about this, is where we start to compare ourselves to, you know, the young boys that studied with Krishnamacharya when he first started. And you can actually see photo documentation of these, you know, young boys who are doing their Ashtanga practice. And you know, me as a 50-year-old man, I get really like, well, why can't I put my foot, you know, behind my head like them? Or how come my body is, you know, not strong like theirs? Well, I'm not a 16-year-old boy anymore. Very clearly, right? So this kind of like idea that yoga equals flexibility, you guys know where I stand on this. I'm about trying to flip the script on that. And I think it's really worthwhile to drive home the point that there is no, as far as I know, no scriptural reference at all to stretching or flexibility. What is there scriptural reference to? How to go into the most deepest chamber of your being and find peace and contentment there. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. And you know, this whole idea of flexibility and stretching, if you talk to people like that work out in the world, they will often say things like, you know, I'm doing my weights to get stronger and I go to yoga to become more flexible. And so somehow this kind of like equation of yoga and flexibility keeps getting more and more reinforced. And one of the things I think that reinforces this erroneous perception, which is why when I went through the guidelines of how to teach your students, stop demonstrating. How can you say as a teacher, yoga is not about flexibility when you post a photo on Instagram, you know, with your foot behind your head? There's just such a disconnect between those two ideas. How can you say that yoga is not about flexibility when you come into a pose? Oh, don't worry, just go as far as you can go, and then you bring your chest down to your thighs. So if you can bring your chest to your thighs, great. Do it in the privacy of your own home. Do it somewhere where people can't see that. If that's what makes you happy, and you know, go for it. But you can't say that one thing and then do another thing. There's a disconnect in the yoga world. So I really believe that we need to flip that script and really kind of embody more about what yoga is about, which is finding our bliss, our happiness, going inside into that most subtle, deepest chamber of our being. And that's what I hope that you guys will teach. I also hope that you guys will teach stability, how to get people more stable. But just kind of know that anytime we stretch a muscle, we leave a person open and vulnerable to injury. There's no other way around it. We've tested it, we'll continue to test. You guys have seen this in some of the demonstrations. You guys see what happens when we stretch. There's a loss of range of motion. There's a momentary increase of range of motion, but there's no accountability in that range of motion, which means that there's no strength or stability. So you can go to an extreme range of motion, but do you have stability in that range of motion? No, you don't. And the muscle loses its ability to contract and contract on demand. There's a video I have on the online. It's like, I think it's called like how flexibility is hurting you or how stretching is hurting you. And so I have Amy do this glute exercise where she's lying on her stomach and she lifts her leg up, you know, that one, one-legged shalabhasana. And we actually get the muscle working and she actually increases her range of motion quite a lot. Then we have her come lie on her back and do figure four exercise. And not only did she not, was not able to come up as high, but she couldn't even come up as high as she could when she first did the pose. So she actually lost more range of motion, which is a little bit different. It's looking at it from a different way. We're not stretching the thigh to get more range of motion. What we're doing is we're actually improving range of motion by getting the glutes to contract and contract on demand. So we need to start looking at it from that perspective. If I'm looking to improve my range of motion, what am I actually doing? Improving certain muscles' ability to contract and contract on demand. And you know, part of my goal in teaching you guys a yama is to empower you guys with knowledge. And you guys are not gonna know everything when you leave here. I mean, you're just not. What I'm teaching you is just such a small part of anatomy. What I'm teaching you is just such a small part of muscle function. But what I hope to do is give you guys a bit more of a foundation in understanding the body and being able to then go back out into the world and question things and kind of start to give you a framework in which to question something. That's it. So so here's a fact that very few yoga teachers, and I don't say this like from a place of being egotistical or callous or like trying, I'm not trying to put down anybody. It's just a fact. Very few yoga teachers know anything about anatomy. The other day we were talking about opening the hips. And I made a statement that, like, what does that really mean? Like, do you want to open the hips? Is that what it means? Like, what does it mean to open the hips? And then I said, the very few teachers actually even understand what muscles are involved in the hips. So you talk about opening the hips. What does that even mean and what muscles are being affected? So what I want you guys to do is start to go, okay, we want to open our hips, fine. What muscles are involved here? What does it mean? What do I mean when I say open the hips? Do you want people to just walk through life with these like gaping open hips? Or do you want people to walk through life with more stability, more strength? The more open your hips are, it's interesting. I was just talking to messaging on social media, this guy and who follows me, and I just asked him, I said, have you listened to the podcast? And then he said no, and then I sent him the link and he listened to the first episode. I said, tell me what you think, and he came back and he said, oh, it's really interesting, and then proceeded to give me a list of things that were he was dealing with, injuries. And so I said, well, here's a hip video, and what he was actually bringing up with his feet, something about his foot. And I said, well, a lot of problems in the feet start with the hips. So, you know, here's a video. And then he wrote me back and said, well, the problem isn't in my hips. I was like, okay, Om Svaha. Like, okay, you give the information and then people are gonna do what they're gonna do with it. But the interesting thing for me was, is that he was, when he messaged me, he said he was just leaving to go to yoga. What do you think he's doing in his yoga classes? Opening his hips, which is leaving him to become more vulnerable and open to injury, which is going to exacerbate any kind of issues going up or going down. Probably, maybe. I'm willing to be wrong. I've been wrong many times before. So, but we know that if there's instability in our hips, if these muscles are not working, that's going to transfer up and it's also going to transfer down. Ever since I started practicing a yama, I do not have knee issues anymore. I used to hike a lot. And when the time I was around 31, 32, I thought my hiking days are over. And as I've started to practice and do these practices and make sure that my muscles are working, now that I'm 50, I actually can go into the mountains and I don't have any problems. And you know, sometimes if you haven't hiked in a while, which sometimes I don't because I'm here, but I go back to the mountains in Costa Rica and I like going hiking. And I can actually go hiking and leave, and I don't, you know, like sometimes when you do something that you haven't done in a while and you can barely move, your back is tight, your hips are tight, your knees are screaming. I don't have that problem anymore. It's phenomenal. I'm actually just, honestly, I'm amazed myself at what that's like. So, one of the things that I really want to kind of drive home this point with you guys is the stretching paradigm. You know, if you look at your own life, and a lot of you came here with injuries, different injuries. What is, in the yoga world, there's kind of two thoughts that I've heard. Maybe you've heard them, maybe you haven't, but I've heard this incessantly for 30 years. The first thought is, keep doing the practice, the pain will work itself out. Have you guys heard that before? So it's not just my world, it's also your world. So the pain, just keep stretching, the pain is going to work itself out. Or keep doing the practice, sorry. And then the second thought is, if you feel pain, just stretch. You know, some of you have come in with shoulder injuries. What does the yoga teacher normally say? Oh, we need to stretch that. And no one bothered to ask, well, what is the pain really about? What is the pain? Is the check engine light of the body. And the pain is saying, hey, there's a problem. If there's muscle tightness, the muscle tightness from our perspective is not the problem, it's a symptom. And the symptom, it's a symptom of instability. There is an instability in the body and the muscles start to tighten up. Why do they tighten up? Because they sense instability. And so the two examples I often like to use are like, if you live where I used to live in New York, maybe in some of the northern parts, and that very first cold day of fall, you kind of step out, there's a bit of ice, and you kind of almost slip a little bit, not that much, but you slip enough to the point where your body does what? It tightens up. It's a reflective mechanism. It's a protective mechanism in the body. Now, if that doesn't drive home the point to you, my other good example that I've started to use these days is you're in the grocery store in the vegetable section. You're looking at that beautiful tomato you're going to buy. And all of a sudden, a stranger walks up behind you and wraps their arms around you. You have no idea who it is. What do? You tighten up. And then maybe punch him in the face. But what does that stranger do to you? Or what does he say to you that you don't know? Just relax. Just relax. That's what we're kind of doing in yoga. Your muscles are tightening up. They're saying, hey, I don't want to relax. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. It's phenomenal to me that when I have people come, we saw this, a few examples of this. Some of you guys were dealing with issues. We took a look at those issues. We saw, okay, maybe the weakness is coming here. The body senses weakness, it's going to tighten up. It senses weakness, it feels unstable. other muscles are going to start tightening up. And we saw that. We looked at a few examples. We're able to actually reduce the pain immediately because once the other muscles started doing their job, the inflammatory process actually stopped like right away. And the pain went away. Does it go away all the time? Maybe not. Maybe it takes a few times, maybe it takes a few sessions. But more often than not, when I say more often than not, my experience of like 90 to 95% of the time, people start to feel better pretty quickly. And they feel better because we're starting to deal with the root cause of the pain. We're starting to get down to what is that root cause? What is actually causing the muscle tightness? Oh, there's muscle weakness. So as you guys know, I'm on a crusade to begin flipping the script on this flexibility business. And as I just kind of mentioned, I want to give you guys two things. Or my intention in teaching you is twofold. One, I want to empower you guys with knowledge so that you can improve your personal practice. That's first and foremost. You guys are no use to the world if you're suffering in pain. Because all your attention is going to your pain. All your attention is going to, like, how can I get out of pain? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? When you're in pain, all your attention is like, oh my God, pain management. I mean, there's been a few times in my life when I've been in such debilitating pain, I have to stay in bed. I have to lie down. I can't do anything. And so when I say you're of no use, I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. I meant it like in a very practical way because you're not out living your best life. You're not out manifesting and living your life purpose. Your purpose is solo, how can I get out of pain? How can I manage this? And so I want you guys to feel stronger and more stable so that you're not consumed with this kind of like part of your mind that's going to deal with this all the time. So that's part of it. And I also want to increase your knowledge. So I know that some of you are doing this program are not like going to teach, and that's fine. Some of you are just here to work on yourselves, to increase your knowledge, and that's great. Work on increasing your knowledge. Work on so that when you guys go on YouTube and watch a video, you know, oh, Aaron talked about the psoas. There's this video on psoas. What is it saying? That maybe you guys can start to work, listen to it with a new kind of mindset, with a new frame of reference. That you can kind of go, oh, what this guy says makes a little bit of sense, but oh, maybe not. Or maybe you'll listen to it and go, you know what, this guy's just talking out of his ass. Which, by the way, happens a lot on YouTube. You know, like, you'll see title, Expert Advice on PSOAS. And then you go and watch it and you're like, huh, that's interesting. Does that make sense? And so that's, I mean, I want you guys, as Krishna said to Arjuna, sharpen your sword of discrimination. That's what I'm really trying to do. You guys are not gonna leave here again with all the knowledge of life. I'm sorry. Karina and I did our best, but you're just not going to have all the knowledge of life. And part of that is because you guys need to go back out into the world and do your experiments, keep studying. Go back and watch the videos again in a year's time. Start going through some of the worksheets again. See if you see things from a different perspective with gained knowledge, okay? Yesterday, we were doing something and I said, I wonder what would happen. We checked somebody's range of motion in their neck. And what do? We didn't do anything except do a twist and activate the muscles in our core. We activated the trunk rotators. What happened to the neck? Started increasing. I never did that before. I just did it live with you guys yesterday. And so we start to experiment. What happens if we start to do something different? So that's kind of a big part of it. But you also can test, you know, and you start to test things by like using that example in this video, that we start to test something. We start to test something, like if we're doing this exercise. Okay, so everybody says I should stretch my hips. Okay, that's what everybody says I should do. So let's start to activate the hips and see what would happen. So we conduct an experiment. We do that experiment. We get the muscle working, and then you come back and do the stretch. What happens? This is a big light bulb that went off in my brain about 2 years ago, and this is something I constantly do now with new students, is we do this exercise. You guys bring your legs out, and we do that muscle activation to see if we can improve it. We do that 6 seconds, 6 times, and then we straighten the legs out. Oh my God, I'm stronger. The muscles turned on. And then we do apanasana, and then we come back and do the test again. All of a sudden, 95% of the time, the students always tell me the legs feel heavier. There's more stress in their lower back. Well, that's how you get knowledge, is you conduct experiments. So when you guys leave here, like, think about starting to conduct your own experiments. And then conduct experiments with students. You guys didn't know you're my guinea pigs. But you conduct experiments on yourself, test it. Yesterday we did a neck practice, and a lot of you had some very dramatic results. I think one of them was, one of you were like, oh my God, my arm has full range of motion now. Isn't that amazing? Just from doing a neck practice. All we're doing is starting to, from our perspective, how can we get muscles to work more efficiently? And also, just to kind of just add on to that, how do we also increase the muscle's tolerance level to stress? How do we improve a muscle's tolerance level to stress? And what that sort of means is, yeah, I can go and hike, but how many kilometers can I hike for before my body starts to break down? Or if I, you know, I'm sitting in cross-legged pose right now, which isn't necessarily the best thing for my hip flexors, but maybe when I stand up, maybe my tolerance level for my muscles, specifically the hip flexors, their tolerance to dealing with stress, the stress of sitting cross-legged, is actually so good that when I stand up, they just start turning back on again. That's what I want for you guys. So that when, as I often joke, I led this yoga teacher training one time. It's like back in 2013. And one day, it was close to the very end of the retreat. Sorry, the teacher training. And I went and demonstrated crow pose. And I think it was side crow. You know side crow? And I came out of it and I was like, oh Lord, in the back of my mind. I could feel something wasn't right, but no, I kind of feel okay. Next morning, remember this is like, I think it was like the last morning of the teacher training. It's in my shower. I reached up and grabbed the shampoo bottle, and then all of a sudden my whole neck seized right up, right down into like right around T12. So my whole neck seized right up. It took me, and then I went on vacation where I was not living my best life, and I should have been. I actually flew into Barcelona. I was in so much pain and then went on this transatlantic cruise, which was like a life dream, but I was dealing with this, you know, pain. And so we need to start asking ourselves, how can I start preparing my body? How can I increase that stress tolerance level so that when I do reach up for the shampoo bottle, which was sort of a stress, that I'm not going to throw out something in my body. And then the second thing is, as yoga teachers, I want to give you guys more, for those of you who are teaching yoga, more tools in your toolkit on how to create more stability with people. You know, we've talked about the scriptural reference to the importance of stability. Without stability, you have nothing in this world. It's a big statement, but it's just true. And there's kind of two thoughts or a few thoughts that we could unpack in that statement, but my teacher, Panditji, always says, a confused mind is not fit for the practice of yoga. A confused mind is not fit for the practice of yoga, and so we need to get stable to create that space for the light of consciousness to awaken. And physiologically, we need to get stable and strong so that we can go out and live our best life. Do the things that you love to do. Do the things that feed your heart and soul. And instead of like spending your life lying on your bed in pain, that's not a fun thing to do. So my goal for you guys is to go out and create more stability. And part of this idea of stability, and I really want to kind of hope to drive this point home to you, because some of you have asked me, well, what if we teach some stretching postures, and what if we do this posture, and what if we do that? Ask yourself, how am I creating stability at the beginning of my classes? How do I maintain some sense of stability throughout my class? But most importantly, how can I create more stability before they leave? So that when your students are leaving, they're not going to injure themselves. You know, they're not going to leave your class, go for a walk on the beach, and then have problems. Some of you said that to me, like the very first few days that you were here in training, that you would go for a walk on the beach, and then you could kind of feel something wasn't balanced. And then we started to address that and talk about it, and then over time, you guys have just gotten stronger and stronger. So that's one thing to kind of think about. How do you have your students leave so that they're stronger and more stable? So, as I've mentioned already, we're just covering a very small part of anatomy. Don't leave here and think, I know everything about anatomy. Please have some humility. It's going to take you just a year probably to absorb this information. It's going to take you another year or two to start even starting to expand that, and then probably another 10 more years if you keep on this journey. So it's like your beginning is just starting. Don't feel like, oh my God, I have to know everything. There's a wonderful invention in the world called Google Machine. And you can Google stuff. We've talked about, for example, this idea of agonist and antagonist. I don't know all the agonist-antagonist muscles. Somebody asked me a question yesterday, and I didn't know. But I can go on Google, and then I can conduct experiments, because I have knowledge now. And with those experiments, I can start to understand more. One of the, few years ago, my neck really went out. Like, really went out bad. That was kind of a huge wake-up call for me on so many levels. And that was, by the way, what birthed all of the neck PT stuff that I now teach. But one of them, because my neck went out, my trapezius, my upper trapezius, locked up. I mean, you want to talk about rock-hard trapezius, upper traps. So I went on Google and I started researching it and started looking at what are the synergistic and then antagonist agonist muscles. Well, that was when I learned lower traps. Oh, what will happen if my lower traps are more engaged? Oh, my upper traps started to relax more. Interesting. Remember, muscle tightness, the upper traps in this case, were locking up because the brain was sending a message to those muscles. Contract, 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 contract. Contract, we don't feel safe here. We don't feel stable. Contract, contract. Because the other muscles were not doing their job. So you guys, what I hope to do is to instill in you guys like this yearning, this passion. Go and do some research. Use the tools that are out in the world. You have the foundation. You don't know everything. You have a good foundation after this training. But you only have that foundation only works if you guys use it. Knowledge is only powerful when you use it. So use it. Please use it. And then test your theories. In the worksheets that I've given to you guys in the yama section, there's the last section. Grab somebody, do a posture, do some yama-based muscle activations, and then come back and redo the posture. Was there a change? How did they feel? How did they look? Was there a visible difference? I remember we did this exercise the other day, and somebody did Warrior 3, Virabhadrasana 3, and the before and after was like, actually, even I was blown away. I was like, wow. This stuff really works when we use it. But do as many experiments as you can. As we go into what we're going to be teaching today, go and practice it on as many people as possible. That's how you guys get good. You start to see things. You start to see different things in different people, and that's practicing it on different people. You can even practice it on your dog. Down dog destiny. That you start to see these differences, and it will just give you more information and more information. And you'll just get to the point where you can look at somebody's body and go, oh, that's what's going on, because I can see this. And that'll come through practice. Challenge yourself to listen for things that don't make sense. Challenge yourself. Don't believe if you have, like, you walk into this class, you're at Yoga Journal conference, and you're gonna go take class with some teacher who's really popular. Like, just don't believe everything that they say. We do that so much in the yoga world, and it's causing so many problems. So please stop listening, stop believing just everything. Challenge what people say. You don't have to go up and pick a fight with them. That's not what I'm advocating. But just think about, like, what they're saying and ask yourself, like, does that make sense? Or sit with it and then go and research it. The last thing I kind of want to just say here is I don't want you guys leaving this course arrogant. Like, my mission is to flip the script, but I don't go and pick fights with people about it. My doctor says, you know, you really should do more yoga to stretch. Okay, Om Swaha. Thank you. Like, I'm not really going to try and engage with people in the outside world. I don't sit at the table at Blue Osa every night trying to pick fights with people and tell them, no, you've got wrong information. Like, what I want you guys to do is work on yourselves first. Work on yourselves getting stronger and stable. Maybe if you have family, you know, in your own house, hey guys, let's try some muscle activation techniques. You know, people don't need to know the whole history. However, if you do find somebody that says something and you say, hey, you know, I've been listening to this podcast called Stop Stretching. It's a New York Times best podcast ever. And maybe you might find this useful, you know, but that's it. Like, just don't go out looking for fights with people. And even with your own students, when you guys go home, like, just teach from a place of, we're looking to get more stable. I want you to be stronger. And, you know, as you get better at this, as you start to increase your knowledge, as you try different ideas on, you'll start to drip some of this into your classes. But please don't go out back home and say to your personal trainer, like, oh my God, you know, what you've been doing with me in stretching is like the worst thing ever. Because they don't know. They don't have the frame of reference. They haven't done the experiments that you've had. And they do have in their mindset, like, this is the right path. I think it's just worthwhile mentioning, like, we've talked about the four causes of suffering in this training. One of them is a shmita, the sense of self. You know, as I endeavor to flip the script on stretching, it's not easy. Because so many yoga teachers when I say so many, most yoga teachers in the world will tell you that yoga is about stretching. And maybe they won't say it directly, but they believe it. And I will tell you, when I, around 2015, 2016, I started thinking differently, and I was like, I really shouldn't be teaching so much stretching, but guess what else came into my mind at that moment? If I'm not teaching stretching, then what am I teaching in yoga? It's a very hard leap for a lot of people to make, and it took me many more years before I made that final leap, before I finally said, I am not teaching stretching anymore in yoga, because I just see what it does. I've just seen too many times what it does to people. It's hard. So work on your own knowledge first. Work on improving yourself. Get stronger in your body. And then, as if you're going to be a teacher, then teach other people how to get stronger as well. That's a very important message that I really just want to leave with you guys, is become better teachers with this knowledge in your yoga classes, and also become a better practitioner so that you can start to notice also, like, hey, I'm repeating the same practice over and over. You know, I've got this pain here and I'm stretching and stretching. Every single day the pain comes back. Try to pay attention to that. If we're repeating the same thing over and over and over and it's not working, isn't that like the definition of insanity? So pay attention to that with yourself. Like, if I'm doing the same thing over and it's not helping, maybe that's something to think about. Or maybe I need to get more, you know, a different perspective. Feel free to contact me if you have questions. You know, once a month I'm doing these live webinars, I'm doing a Q&A. Jump on those things. Start to get involved in some of the things that I'm doing so that you can ask me questions. Hey, I'm doing this every day and I still have a pain in my knee. I'm doing this every day and my neck is still killing me. And these are like, this is how we start to learn and we can unpack things and break it down. So, that's all I gotta say. Oh, actually, there is one more thing I've gotta say. So, when you guys leave here, again, and I kinda said this a little bit, but I really want to enunciate it. Just because a teacher is teaching something, like, you leave this class, you go home, taking class with a teacher, and they do King Pigeon. And you're like, what should I do? You have to make a decision, but just know that if you do decide to do King Pigeon, you might be leaving yourself open and vulnerable to injury. You know that. You know that. You know that all the work you probably just did, maybe, to get your muscles activated is all going to go out the window. Maybe. Unless your stress tolerance is really high, which it probably isn't. So unless your stress tolerance is really high, probably you're going to create some instability. Do you know that I never really practiced pigeon that much. I did a lot in my early 20s to help myself with back pain. Did it help my back pain? Did it make my back pain worse? Yes. So there was a moment when I actually stopped practicing King Pigeon. And I remember one day, I went in, took this class, and I practiced pigeon, and then we went into King Pigeon. And about 2 or 3 days later, maybe it was 2 days, I went and took an Ashtanga class with a friend of mine. And it was at Equinox or something. And we went up, we inhaled, bring the arms, reach up. It was Sun Salutation A. Exhale, fold forward. We hadn't even started the class. I got my hands to my feet and my whole back went out. And I literally had to drop to the floor because I had no stability in my hip flexors and I had no stability in my trunk and spine, my trunk flexors and my trunk stabilizers. So if you're going to go do a class with somebody and they're teaching stretching, you don't have to do it. You say, hey, I'm not going to do it. But feel strong in the knowledge that you've got. And test the knowledge on your own. Test the knowledge in your apartment. See what happens. If you don't believe me, do some of these muscle activations. Notice where you're strong. Go and stretch. Go and do king pigeon. And then go back and test. And then you'll have knowledge of what happens. I have knowledge because I've done it enough to myself. I've also seen what happens with my students. I think I was telling you guys about Ginger, my friend Ginger. She was here, and there was like all these yin girls. I called them the yin girls. And they went, and she was strong. Then she went and did pigeon pose for 5 minutes each side. Went back the next morning and worked in the kitchen, and her whole back went out. And it took me a few days to fix her because, you know, she was 65, big woman. And then she also has a life of stress, trauma, and overuse. So we had to address those things, but we did get her stronger, and then she swore she would never do pigeon again. She felt it. She knew it in her body. She could feel the instability. So please give yourself permission when you go to a class. You don't have to be adjusted. And you don't have to stretch. Okay, so try to see where you can start to take classes with other people. Have a conversation with the teacher. Just tell them where you're at. I don't stretch anymore. I don't do child's pose and I don't stretch. I did that with my teacher, Jenny, when she came here. I said, Jenny, you might have heard I'm practicing a little differently these. Oh, I know, Aaron. You can just, I'm just so happy you're here. You can do your own adjustments, modifications. And then it worked. So you can have both. Just kind of putting that out there. You can have both.